A legal tax expert is warning that if the alcohol ban is not lifted come the middle of February, jobs will be permanently at stake. He's also warning that SARS may have to afford the alcohol retail industry some grace time in terms of paying excise duties, given that they haven't been in a position to sell and make revenue. And of course, this would come in light of the fact that the taxman has again been deprived of tax revenue from the alcohol industry due to the third ban on the industry since last year. Well, to discuss these and related matters further, I'm joined on the line by Bernard Mofokeng. He's a tax lawyer at CMS RM Partners. Thank you so much, Bernard, for joining us. Please give us some context. How much tax revenue did the taxman lose from the first two alcohol bans last year? And how much is it set to lose with this latest one, assuming that it's lifted in the middle of February?
Thank you.
Sure.
If you can remember, with the first one, they estimated that it lost about 2.5 billion, estimated, and it was for the first and second. And if that was estimated, we estimate that similar amounts would be lost for this period of the ban.
Now,
and it might be higher because it was the festive season, so it should maybe be higher.
Yes, indeed. Now, with SARS already vulnerable, given that the economy is extremely weak, businesses are barely functioning and more people are unemployed, and the alcohol ban is, you know, in addition to all of this, you're suggesting that SARS will now likely have to give the alcohol industry some further grace period in terms of paying excise duties. They had to do that last year. Please elaborate for us.
With the first two bans, SARS gave the industry a deferment on their taxes up to the 31st of October. So it is logical that if they gave them those deferments for that, for those bans, they should do the same for these ones. So I don't see how they cannot give them the deferment, considering that they are not earning any income and it will affect their cash flow going forward.
Yes, makes sense. Now, if we assume that the coronavirus cases worsen and the government continues to ban alcohol past mid-February, what are some of your fears about the sustainability of the industry, number one, and the wider ramifications of such a decision?
If it continues, the ramification for the industry is going to be huge, because what I have heard that there's going to be some job losses. SABS indicated that they are going to cut some jobs, and it seems that they're just confirming that it might do it. And also, down the line, down the chain, other people are going to be affected. The small-time wholesalers, those are going to be affected, as well as the people working for those wholesalers. And if that's the case, revenue is going to be lost to the fiscals, which will affect government budget and government spending, and indirectly as well, they're fighting the pandemic as well.
Yeah. Legally, what are the latest movements against the ban? I mean, and really, is there any possibility of overturning the decision before mid-February, given the motivation behind it, which is a noble and understandable one? That is, we don't want to load our trauma units with unnecessary accidents and problems that are associated with alcohol intake.
I mean, with the courts, anything can happen. They may succeed or they may not succeed. But considering the circumstances, I think the government had a good case. And at this case, the industry itself is not united, because it's only SAB are challenging it. The other industry players are not challenging it. So if the industry is divided, it also causes a problem for the industry itself to argue that the ban is not beneficial for the industry. That's not good. It doesn't help in controlling the pandemic. So it would have been better if the industry was united as a whole.
Yes. So from your perspective as a lawyer, what is it that you're advising your clients who are in the alcohol industry right now?
First, they must approach SARS and ask, explain to them their predicament and their cash flow problems, and request the deferment and for SARS to consider their circumstances whenever they had to look at their compliance, tax compliance record, and also going forward, how it's going to affect their businesses and how they're going to contribute to SH taxes.
Yeah. And basically, SARS is not really going to, you can't get blood out of a stone at the end of the day. I mean, I suppose they're going to have to concede.
So far, SARS has been reasonable. They've been talking to the industry, understanding their needs and their challenges. And I think it's going to continue to do so.
Super. Bernard, thank you very much for giving us some insights on this particular subject. That was Bernard Mufukeng. He's a tax lawyer at CMS RM Partners.